In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's a beautiful story. I've heard about a famous anthropologist, Margaret Mead. One that is a story that is beautiful, touching, and yet even somewhat haunting. A student one time asked her, what was the first sign, in your opinion, of civilization in ancient culture? And expected her to talk about fishhooks, clay pots, grinding stones. No, no. She said the first sign was a femur, a thigh bone, that had been broken and then healed. She said in an animal kingdom, if you break a leg, you die. You can't run from danger, you can't hunt for food, you can't go to the river for a drink of water. And you can't survive long enough for it to heal. You are meat for prowling beasts. She said, talking of a human, the first sign is a thigh bone that is healed is a sign that someone bound the wound and carried that person to safety and tended to that person until he or she could be healed. She said the first sign of civilization is when a human being tends to another human being in difficulty. That's the first sign. I thought about that, and I thought about ourselves. When we think about faith and Christianity, what would be our earliest sign? What is the sign that articulates the very essence of what we believe and who we are? Well, the church, our faith, and the saints have said for 2,000 years that sign has been the sign of the cross. And yet, the cross is shrouded with great mystery, is it not? What is the meaning of the cross? And for 2,000 years, theologians and holy men and women have tried to come up with definitions and words to articulate the meaning of the cross. And it goes all the way back. We call it the theories of atonement. Origen in the 3rd century said the meaning of the cross became what we now call the ransom theory. The meaning of the cross articulates that the justice of God. And what is that? That yes, God is love, but God is also just. And what is justice? That when a wrong has been done, when there has been evil, that it has to be named, it has to be accounted for. Otherwise the stones would scream. When we look at the news, someone has been killed unjustly or unjust things happen, what do the families cry for? They cry for justice. And it's just as well that we don't have synthesized hearing, because otherwise we'd be deafened by the stones shouting and screaming for justice in this world. And Origen said, the cross, the death of the cross, paid a ransom to the devil because of the fall of Adam, to satisfy that justice. Centuries later, the 12th century, Anselm, the Archbishop of Canterbury, said, no, Origen, no, we don't owe the devil anything. The payment was satisfaction to the justice of God himself. It was God who paid the debt he didn't owe, and paid the debt, and we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And that was Anselm's theory of the cross. Abelard, later in the 12th century, says, no, it's the example of the cross. It's not priestcraft on a piece of wood. It's that the human beings look at what the sacrifice, the love of Jesus, and viewing that, and digesting that, it changes us. And mothers and fathers of the faith, and reformers, and people throughout the centuries have come to try to put words to the mystery of the cross. And we should think of these things. If we are baptized Christians, then we are theologians. We are called to love God with our minds, to think theologically. So there should be sermons and studies and talks and musings upon the meaning of the cross of Christ. But for this sermon, I'd like to talk about the pastoral sign of the cross. What does it mean in that way? Because it can't just be a transactional theory. So what is the pastoral meaning of the cross? If nothing else, that when we live in the world, we are not alone. If nothing else, we know nothing else of the cross of Christ. We know that the God who knows the hairs on our head, the God that knows us by name and by need, has suffered the crosses that we experience. Sometimes when I look at the news, especially in recent days, I think the world is on fire. The world is on fire, the world over. And what our faith teaches us through the cross is that the suffering and the hunger, the oppression that we that we face every day in this world. But God, our Creator, knows. He knows and suffered all things as we are. And that's what the cross says to us. And I say all this today because we enter now Passion Time. And that's the last 2 weeks of Lent, the most intense 2 weeks of the Christian year, when the sign, the image, the thought of the cross becomes central to our liturgy and to our worship. We literally will, as we use the religious language, walk the way of the cross with Jesus. And the context of today's gospel is quite beautiful. When he reveals that his time has now come for the cross, it says the Greek came to Philip and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And it's fascinating when you think about it. Why wouldn't they just come to Jesus? And then who were the Greeks? The Greeks were any others, really, other than the chosen people of Israel. They were the outsiders. And often Greeks were just coming for curiosity. And they came to Philip as a thought because Philip had a Greek name. Often we come to people we feel that are approachable. They give us entree. And they gave them entree to Jesus. And Jesus did a beautiful thing. These Greeks would have been of low consequence. But Jesus, it was to these Greeks that he disclosed the meaning of the cross and the meaning of eternity. Because for 2 years, he kept saying, "My hour has not yet come. My hour has not yet come." And finally, to the Greeks, said, "My hour has come. And this is it." And he gave them an image that everyone in the ancient world would have known, an agricultural image. Just as a grain falls into the earth and dies, it has to die in order to give life. He was telling them the meaning of the cross. And they wouldn't realize it until it was long after, and then they look back in hindsight. Well, what a beautiful view, and what a beautiful definition that is. And so, as we enter this last 2 weeks of Lent, I ask you as your pastor to walk together as a congregation. It will require much of us. It will be intense. It will be physical. We bring, as I often use the analogy in this time of year, we bring our feet to these ancient liturgies that never become old, and then our souls follow our feet. And next week I will talk of the explanation of the days of Holy Week. But may we come together and walk the way of the cross, because the promise of faith is this, that as we walk the way of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ through these ancient liturgies, that in so doing our cross, and our life, and a life that is not easy, will have more significance and purpose and meaning. Many years ago, and I end with this story, I was, and it brought back the true pastoral meaning of the cross. When I was a damn position, I was just a seminary, not just, I was a seminary intern in a parish. And I shadowed the priest, the rector, I went with him to visit, and we visited a man who was dying of cancer. It was a virulent form of cancer, one of the most painful kind. He was already restrained to bed. And the difficult thing was that he was at peace, or at least acceptance of the fact he was going to die. But the difficult thing was between that time and the time of death, the very pain that would come to him, that's what was disturbing him. And we prayed prayers, and the priest anointed him. And in the end, the priest said, what we all say to people we love, is there anything I can do? And the man said, yes, there is. I want a crucifix. Can you give me a crucifix? I want it to put on the wall in my side of vision. And the priest said, of course we can do that. And then it was lovely. The priest said, what are your thoughts? Or why do you ask me for that? He said, because I want company. Because it's God that I've always prayed for, God that I've always known. I want to have camaraderie with him as I face what I have to face. And I've never forgotten that. From that time until now, with all the theories of the cross, that pastoral image has remained with me, and I give it to you. And may that pastoral image come real to us through these next 14 days of Passion Time. Amen.